Nelson Part 2.
After that 74 tour, I got such a slagging off in the newspapers or in the magazines. You know, it's like they smell blood and they try and come in for the kill. They try to kill you and then they try and nail the coffin down, the lid, you know, so you never get out again. And I felt that kind of thing happened during the end of 74 into 75. Studio. I'm George Harrison with Redbeard.
In the 1980s, there was a five-year period when George Harrison never released a note. AllMusic.com's William Roman suggests it was because, and I quote, although George Harrison's solo career had faded from its early promise, through 1981's Somewhere in England album, he could be counted on to turn in a gold-selling top 20 album containing a top 20 single every year or so. Then came the disastrous Gone Troppo album, a half-baked affair that failed to make the top 100. Clearly, George Harrison could no longer treat his musical career as a part-time stepchild to his interests in car racing and movie producing if he wanted to maintain it. As it turned out, he didn't. End quote. I asked George Harrison about going MIA in the 80s.
People tend to write you off, and I don't, it's a bit silly, because after all the time we've been around, you know, you'd think, well, I must know something by now. So I always felt confident that if I wanted to do something, you know, and do it right, I could eventually. It's just the desire and building up the desire to do it. The worst thing is if you make a record and it doesn't get played on the radio, or, you know, nobody gets to know that it's out, or nobody buys it if they do know it's out. That's a, you know, because then you got to start again and do it all again. So it's very satisfying to sell records and get good airplay on him. So it was very nice for me because people were saying, oh, you know, yeah, he's okay. You know, they suddenly gave me the green light, you know.
Could you have written When We Was Fab in 1974?
No. I wouldn't have thought about it. I would have been too hung up on the past, you know, the Beatles. But now it's like it's good that you could look back at it with just think of the funny stuff. We just knocked it out on the piano one night and somebody put a cassette on, so we just taped all the whatever we were doing. We got a bit legless and this kept giving us bottles of champagne in this person's house. And and then we went back to England and finished it off. And we had Ringo plays drums, as you can hear him on the beginning. Yeah. One, two, that. In fact, that's how I conceived the song. I was thinking of Ringo just doing that. One, two, ba-da,
ba-da. Back then, long time ago, when grass was green, woke up in a daze, arrived like strangers in the night. Fab. Long time ago when we was fab. Morning light, casualties at dawn, and we did it all. Long time ago when we was fab, you my world, you are my only love. Take you away. microscopes that magnified the tears. Studied warts and arm, still alive, Lord, on and on. Fab, long time ago when we was fab. Fab, but it's all over now, baby.
George Harrison, the Comeback Kid, from 1987's Cloud 9 album, a top 10 seller, with When We Was Fab, a musical homage to his Beatlemania days 20 years earlier. The song and Cloud 9 album were produced by former Electric Light Orchestra leader and unabashed Beatle fan, Jeff Lynne. I asked George Harrison about befriending Jeff.
It was fun doing Cloud 9. You know, as I say, the new songs, you know, because they're changing over the years, you know. I mean, if I could still write Here Comes the Sun, I would gladly do it. But my songs are changing a bit. You know, I just like the idea of the ELO. There was a part of it that annoyed me, but I really secretly loved it because it carried on, in a way, the Beatle thing, and it fused it into the old rock and roll. And Jeff has got the skill of having all these little bits, you know, nice little bits all strung together. And so I was aware of him for a long time, but I never knew him, I never met him until during the years, you know, while I was Howard Hughes. I think it's apart from the music, you see, Beatles came from the north of England, and Jeff came from this place just down the road, a heavy industrial area of the middle of England, Birmingham. You know, our life, upbringing as kids, and the kind of music you heard, and, you know, all that, that's all part of it. It's all the way he drinks a pint of beer or something. You know, it's things like that, I think, first of all, and just the kind of people we are. And then the music, you know, because that's what I always felt. I'd never really written tunes with other people. I mean, I'd done a bit with Ringo, you know, helped him with songs, but I was very scared about writing songs with other people because it's not easy. Sometimes it's easy, and sometimes, you know, when you're trying to force it out, you know, you can write a lot of rubbish before you get to it. But I always thought with Jeff, well, if we get on as people, the music's going to be easy. And that was the main thing.
George Harrison stunned fans and critics alike with a number one hit single off of Cloud 9. It was a rare cover version of a song from his teenage years.
Did you ever see that old film of the Beatles in New York in 1964 that Maisel's made? It's been around for years, and there's scenes of us coming into New York City, and there's a scene in the Plaza Hotel and Murray the K's there. Yeah. During that, we're on the telephone to Murray the K's station, and he's asking us for requests. And you can see in that film, I say, have you got a record called Got My Mind Set on You by James Ray? And that song has just been with me in the back of my head for years. And as it happened, when we were doing those sessions, Keltner had got this drum pattern. He was like in one corner, just making up all this crazy drum patterns. And he got this thing that was really swinging, you know, rock and swing both together. Mm-hmm. And Gary Wright was there. And Gary turned around and said, hey, doesn't that remind you of Got My Mind Set on You? And I said, absolutely. Because I'd played that song to myself over the years thinking, God, this song is so good. Because as a pop or rock song, because it's got all the best bits, got like Twist and Shout and you know, it's called the good chords, you know. And so I said, absolutely, and we just did it there and then.
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. Got my mind set on you. But it's gonna take money. It's gonna take time, a whole lot of precious time. It's gonna take patience and time, to do it, 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 to do it right, child. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. My mind set on you. And this time I know it's real, the feeling that I feel. I know if I put my mind to it, I know that I really can do it. I got my mind set on you. Set on you. I got my mind set. It's gonna take money, whole lot of spending money. It's gonna take plenty of money to do it right, child. It's gonna take time, whole lot of precious time. It's gonna take patience and time, to do it, to do it, to do it, to do it, to do it.
You know, that was the one track we, you know, we weren't really going to have on the album. And then we thought, well, it really is good. It's a good track. We should have it on the album. And then, of course, I brought the album to Warner's, and Lenny listened and listened and listened. And he said, that's the single. I think his daughter picked it. And he was so right. Also, my boy, while we were recording it, he kept saying, that's the single.
A number one song for George Harrison from 1987's terrific comeback album, Cloud Nine, that's Got My Mind Set on You. Next, Harrison's longtime friend Eric Clapton is instrumental in George's return to the concert stage after a 17-year absence. For this and other interviews, visit inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with the late George Harrison for the Best Of Part 2. George Harrison passed away, of course, in November 2001. But 10 years earlier, Harrison embarked on his first concert tour since his ill-fated 1974 North American tour, 17 long years earlier. One of rock and roll's most reluctant superstars, George Harrison told me that his ego desires had been exceeded long before, during his Beatle days. But longtime friend Eric Clapton, who played on George's 1987 comeback album Cloud Nine, offered Clapton's crack live band as touring musicians, including Clapton himself on guitar.
When and how did you first meet Eric?
When I first met him, I don't know what year it was. It was probably 1963, Christmas. The Beatles had a Christmas show at Hammersmith Odeon. And on the show was the Yardbirds, and Eric was in the band. That's my earliest recollection of meeting him. Could have been 64, but somewhere around that period. Wow. And I met him again at the Marquee Club in London on the night that the Loving Spoonful did a show there.
Cloud Nine and Here Comes the Sun, these each have a connection to Clapton.
We played on Cloud Nine,
direct.
And I wrote the Here Comes the Sun in his garden.
No kidding.
Back in whenever it was, 68. We'll be right back.
of her. Something in the things she shows me. I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe her now.
George Harrison with the Eric Clapton Band live in Japan in 1991 with the timeless song, Hard to Believe, but it was George's first return to the concert stage in 17 years. And Harrison admitted to me that he had concerns about his fitness and stamina for the physical rigors of international touring.
I didn't really know how my physical body could stand up to it because I'm not an athletic kind of person. You know, some people are always out there playing tennis and jogging and like Mick Jagger for a tour. Mick, you know, he jogs backwards for like, you know, 20 miles every day. So, and he does that on stage, running up and down that scaffold.
Yes, he does.
So I'm not like that. All I do is stand there. And sometimes it's taken me, over the last few years, it's taken me, you know, all my strength just to sit on the couch watching TV. It's, you know, I'm not the most physical person. So I needed to get myself together, you know, so that I didn't want to, like, collapse on stage halfway through.
No, that wouldn't
look good. So this story is getting a bit old now, but I stopped smoking. You know, I used the tour as an excuse to get rid of this horrible curse of nicotine. So it worked. I thought, now, if I'm going to do this, I got to try, you know, because Eric was so generous. I thought the least I can do is try to do it as good as I can and maybe make him proud, you know, to have been a part of it or the instigator behind this. You know, I didn't want to just, like, flunk out. So stopped smoking and I tried to get some breathing exercises so I could sing. You know, maybe you played basketball in school and you haven't played it for 30 years and then somebody says, hey, we want you to come on Madison Square Garden and play basketball against the Harlem Globetrotters, you know. I mean, it's something like that, maybe. You think, am I going to make a show of myself? Can I remember the words? I mean, I don't know my own songs. I'm the worst. I did this show on Saturday Night Live, and Paul Simon and I, well, I couldn't see the idiot board. I had to read the words of the song of Paul's that we were doing, right? And the man forgot to turn the page over when it came to my verse, and I blew it. So they had to set up the shot again. For some reason, it took them like an hour and a half to back everything up and to start the program again, or that recorded segment. Mm-hmm. And during that time, all the audience is sitting there, and they're all shouting these requests, and Paul's doing his whole repertoire, and they keep shouting things to me, Bangladesh, and I say, sorry, I don't know that one. Can't remember it. And I'm the worst person. I write a tune, I make the record, and then I never, ever sing the song ever again. I don't know them. I used to have this dream, you know, about that I'd be on stage and I didn't know any songs or any words.
That's called a nightmare.
Well, DJs
have that same dream that they can't get the song.
The turntable won't go right.
Or you're standing there with no pants.
Oh yeah, I think we've all had that one. Just like now, really. I don't have any pants on.
No pants on.
It's a good job. It's not television.
Well, now the truth can be told. Even former Beatles get stage fright. George told me that Eric Clapton encouraged Harrison to play in front of fans again.
Eric's very sweet. And, you know, at the time, I was more worried about making this decision. Oh, am I going to play again? You know, what's it like? Am I, you know, I'm going to have to remember all these tunes and stuff. I thought, well, this is very nice of Eric. But I never really, I took it as this gesture it was. But now, as it's all happened, I sit back from it. And I think, wow, you know, Eric, that's a pal. A friend in need, indeed, you know, to say, I'll help you, I'll back you up, you can have my band, and I'll even choose the place for you to go, because we'll go here, because nobody will give you any hard time, basically.
Now, he had a strong motive out of friendship. Was he being clever to make it so that you just couldn't
say no?
Say no?
Well,
the
thing is, he has got nothing to gain by doing that. All he wants is for me to enjoy it and to realize the fun of playing in a band again, which is what he accomplished, and I'm very grateful for that. A lot of the things on my records have been, you know, not that they sound complicated, but, you know, when people say you're going to get up and jam, for me, it's difficult because my songs, you need to know what you're playing. They've got a lot of chords and they've got a lot of little bits and pieces that is important to the structure of the song. So a song like All Those Years Ago, you know, when you listen to the record, you just take it for granted. It's just a simple tune, right, you know, with a simple melody. But when you dissect it in a situation like a rehearsal and say, okay, who's playing what? Who's going to do this bit? Who's going to do that bit? When I say the spirit of the recording, because I want to give the freedom for a song to be stretched a bit more than what it may have been on the record. But I don't want it to be at this stage of the game, like, say, when Bob Dylan would sing his songs and you couldn't even tell what it was. Right. I like that, you know. I like to see that. And I can see exactly how, if I was touring all the time, I would do that myself. I'd love to be able to sing... Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it's, and something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. I'd love to be able to do that.
Sleeping while my guitar Eric Clapton, Psycho, guitar.
George Harrison with the Eric Clapton Band, originally on the 1992 album Live in Japan, now included as part of the George Harrison vinyl collection. Still to come, music from Harrison's final solo album, along with George's thoughts on his legacy. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, in the studio, for the best of George Harrison Part 2.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm George Harrison with Redbeard.
Thank you, George. You are missed. It was at the time of the release of his 1991 Japanese tour recordings that I asked Harrison what the biggest difference was in touring then as compared to his last foray, which was way back in 1974.
I think it's just your attitude, you know. The attitude now is, I think if you're happy, you enjoy anything. You know, if you're not that happy, everything seems pointless. Basically, I'm quite happy, and I just thought, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to try and do it as good as I can. And after all these songs of mine, it's giving them new life, you know. And it's also the songs that were recorded back when they had steam tape recorders. And, you know, to get a chance to redo all these songs and do them now with a band that's got a bit funkiness and, you know, sing them where I am more relaxed about the way I sing. And it's like an anthology of my whole songwriting career, really. So to update them, it's great. It gives them all more life. For a number of years, the British press, you know, can be pretty nasty. Not just to me, to everybody. Particularly people who are British. They don't seem to like their own people. Or they build you up and then they knock you down. And for years I had the press, you know, always just being bitchy and nasty. And I'd built up this impression that the British don't like me and my music. And I thought, well, that's all right by me. I can live here quietly, you know. The last time I played in England was with the Beatles
that's
in 1965 or 4. But I did do two tunes on the Prince's Trust and I did the Carl Perkins TV special. But, right, I never, ever performed.
That's remarkable, and not that well known. Not that many people realize that.
I don't think many people care. Who cares?
No, how were you received? Somebody must
have
cared.
Well, they loved it. That was the best thing. And that showed me, when I stepped on the Albert Hall, it was unbelievable. I couldn't control. The audience were just so happy. It was the most incredible buzz. It was like a love-in.
I've been traveling on a boat and a plane, in a car, on a bike, with a bus and a train. Traveling there, traveling here, everywhere, in every gear. But oh Lord, we pay the price with the spin of a wheel, with the roll of the dice. Ah yeah, you pay a fare, and if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Traveling through the dirt and the grime, from the past to the future, through the space and the time. Traveling deep beneath the waves, in watery grottos and mountainous caves. But ah, Lord, we got to fight with the thoughts in the head, with the dark and the light. No use to stop and stare, and if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Skin of my teeth by the breadth of her hair. Traveling where the fall winds blow, with the sun on my face, in the ice and the snow. But ooh-wee, it's a game. Sometimes you're cool, sometimes you're lame. Ah oh, yeah, it's somewhere. If you don't know where you're going,
any road will take you there. We pay the price with the spin of the wheel, with the roll of the dice. Ah yeah, you pay your fare if you don't know where you're going. Any road will take you there. I keep traveling around the bend. There was no beginning, there is no end. It wasn't born and never dies. There are no edges, there is no size. Ah yeah, you just don't win. It's so far out, the way out is in. Bow to God and call him sir, but if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
Uncomplicated common sense for the world at a time when we certainly could use it, from George Harrison, from his 2002 posthumous release, Brainwashed.
Every album I've ever made, I write the tune, I record it, and that's it. I listen to it during the mixing and maybe up until the point where, you know, it's been out for a week or so, and then that's it.
But do you agree that that's definitely not the norm for most musicians?
Most of them are working bands, and they just go in, record like we used to do in the early 60s. You make an album, and off you go on the road.
Is it easier now than, say, 5 years after Beatles?
Oh, it's much easier now.
Why?
Just because, you know, the water under the bridge is good. You know, time heals everything and put a bit of distance between, you know, now I can just take it, or like all these songs I'm doing, I can just enjoy it. I can just enjoy it for what it is. I'm more mature, I'm happier, I think I'm healthier.
You seem all those things.
Yeah, and so I'm determined to be able to, each day, just try to enjoy it. And, you know, that's what it's about, really. It's just about how to get blissed out. And if there's, you know, any chance that I'm going to be in a negative situation or in something that's painful, I don't want to do that. I just want to be happy.
On the street of villains, take him for a ride. You can have the devil as a guide. I'm crippled by the boundaries, programmed into guilt, till your nervous system starts to tilt. In a room of mirrors, you can see for miles, but everything that's there is in disguise. Every word you've uttered and every thought you've had is all inside your files, the good and the bad. But in the rising sun, you can feel your life begin. Universe at play inside your DNA, and you're a billion years old today. Oh, the rising sun and the place it's coming from.
of sinners I have been employed, working there till I was near destroyed. I was almost a statistic inside a doctor's case when I heard the messenger from inner space. He was sending me a signal that for so long I had ignored, but he held on to my umbilical cord. Until a ghost of memory trapped in my body and mind came out of hiding to become alive. And in the rising sun began to hear the life begin, but it's here and now. It's coming from, is inside of me, and now I feel it constantly. Oh, the rising sun.
Great song by George Harrison called Rising Sun from his final album, Brainwashed.
Have you ever envied the journeyman musician who could be in and would be in a number of bands over the course of a career?
Well, I think we all go through our lives and we must do what we must do, you know, and it's like my life, instead of being in a working band, like we started out, I was starting to get good as a musician, and then I got diverted into being a pop star, you know, so I I lost out as far as being a musician goes, whereas say Eric, who went, well, as soon as he was becoming a pop star, he joined another band, and he just kept going.
I
really would have liked in some part of me to have been able to do that, so at this point in my life I would be a better guitar player, I'd be more fluent.
And your old songs wouldn't be new.
Yeah, that's the danger. Well, you know, we all have the ups and downs of our individual lives, and we must do what we must do. So, you know, I'm quite happy as what happened, because you know, the result of it is that I, you know, what I am now is I wouldn't be this if I'd have been that. You know, it's as simple as that. And I'm quite happy with my lot.
My love's a blessing.
pick up George Harrison's The Vinyl Collection, all 13 of George's solo albums in one box, available individually too, all remastered from the original analog tapes. I'm Redbeard. I'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking the dearly departed George Harrison for the time. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2017. All rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.